Hi, everybody. You're tuned into the Heritage Radio Network. The show is Flash Talks Cash. We're about money, making it, spending it, saving it, what to do with it when you get it. I'm your host, Joanne Flash Fleming. I'm here with my co-host this week, Andrew. He appeared this week, Newman.
Seriously, you need to work on your nicknames, but he showed up this week. I've been here every week.
But
it's not my fault
week.
That the train broke down last week. There was a fire.
Okay,
I was a fire on the subway.
And we have my producer and engineer, Jack Inslee.
I haven't missed a show yet.
That's what I was going to say.
Fire!
He's been here every week.
Jack.
Okay.
I have a whole segment based on that. I'm going to talk about that one day, Jeff.
All right.
That's what I'm going to get into one day.
Can we talk about who's sponsoring the show today, Andrew?
We have Hearst Ranch. It's the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle in the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the California Central Coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, go to www.hearstranch.com.
Wow, that was great, Andrew.
How do you like that voice, Jack? Was that a good voice?
It was pretty good.
I thought that was a good voice.
Okay. We broadcast live every Thursday from 4:30 to 5. If you can't tune in live while we're streaming, you can always go to the website. All episodes are archived, and all episodes are available. There's a free podcast available through iTunes. So, if you want to call us during the show today, we'd be happy to hear you, listen to you.
We'd like to hear from you. You're like a stuttering fool today. What the hell's going on with you? The phone number is 718-497-2128. That number again is 718-497-2128. I think I have a lot of energy.
Andrew's very up today. He had way too much caffeine so far.
I had three cups of coffee and a can of soda. I am like
I
am firing. info@heritageradionetwork.com. I missed last week's show, and I feel like I have a lot of extra energy.
It's
flowing right now. That and Jack got me angry before the show.
Ooh, Jack.
He got my Irish up.
Good. Let's keep that good work.
Jack,
up.
It's...
Okay, can we
talk... We should get this going every week. I really can't wait for this segment. I am talking.
Oh, okay.
I am talking here. Can I have my moment?
Oh, you haven't shut up yet. Andrew's going to launch a new segment next week. It's unnamed.
I'm going to come up with a name and a theme song. It's going to be amazing.
It's uncategorized.
You cannot categorize this.
We're going to let him
Don't
go.
Label.
We're going to let
label.
Him go with this. And then we're going to do a vote. We're going to poll the listeners to see what
listeners?
They think of it.
Who listens?
The listeners that are listening.
No one's listening right now.
Well,
let's
be honest.
I would love to hear from some of them.
Today's show is... What's
Don't
up?
Handshake me.
What's up with the debt ceiling?
What's up? Nothing. It's too high.
Well, it's too high, but does it need to go higher? Or
yes.
Are we going to go lower?
I think it should go higher.
So the politicians have made a political movement out of this.
Crap. Republicans are being jerks. Democrats are being jerks.
Well, let me ask
and
a question.
What else is
Before
new?
We get started, did you ever think about the debt ceiling or even hear about the debt ceiling?
Well,
I never did. And I've been around a long time.
We never really heard. Whoever thought we'd ever stop borrowing money?
Well, no.
The debt ceiling issue
has come up in the past.
Has it?
Yes. I was surprised to learn about it. And the relative...
Was it my lifetime?
Yes. Actually, I have a little history here, and it came up. This debt ceiling increases. This kind of discussion has come up in 1995, in 2002, 2003. So I don't know about it.
Weren't we paying down our debt in the 90s?
Well,
didn't Clinton have a surplus?
Yeah, Clinton had a surplus, but that was in the late 90s,
yeah.
I guess before the surplus. But the point I'm saying is, I'm a little politically involved, and I think the politicians now have just made this an issue when it's not really a political issue, it's really a financial issue. So let's find out and learn about this.
Well, political and financially intertwined when it has to do with the government.
Can I give you a little history about the debt ceiling?
Go ahead.
The debt?
Please. Enlighten us, Flash.
Okay. Because I learned a lot about this week, okay?
I need a recliner for these moments.
The U.S. government hit the debt ceiling last month in May. So this makes life very complicated for the Treasury Department, and it now needs to shuffle money around to pay the bills. So that's what this debt ceiling is about. Would you Would you
I'm trying to get comfortable while I'm listening to you.
Jesus.
Jack, recliners.
Originally, the debt ceiling was supposed to make like things easier. 100 years ago, it seemed straightforward. So when Congress wanted to spend, it spent. And if it needed to borrow, it approved the sale of a bunch of Treasury bonds. And Congress would consider each new bond individually. So I guess if they needed to pave a road, they would have a road paving bond. And if they need to launch rockets, they would have a rocket launching bond, and so on and so on. And they would create the bonds for whatever project they needed to do. And then they would, you know, have the purpose of the security, the duration, the interest rate. They structured each bond the way they wanted to, and it was all very smooth. But with the start of World War One, that process became way too time-consuming. So if you think about it, the number of decisions that go on during a war, like we need to build tanks, so we need to a tank-building bond, or we need to borrow money to send the troops over to overseas. We need a ship bond, right?
We got it. Come on.
Okay. So, I got to sneeze.
So then we just started making initial U.S. Treasury bonds, which were sold and used for any different means that
so
they needed
Congress
it to be.
So Congress delegated the details of the bond sales to the Treasury Department in 1917.
Exciting year.
And Congress was a little weary about giving too much power over to the Treasury. So one way to control it was to say you have it, but you have to cap it, and you can't go beyond that limit. And that's how this came. So they came up with the real first debt limit, and they wanted to make their lives easier, but not give up too much control. Okay? Over the next 90 years, the debt limit did little to control the growing debt. They just spent more and more. And so they just ordered more and more and more goods and services, and the debt kept rising. So there's a lot of drama about when it comes to raise the debt limit. So Congress debates, the Treasury tries every trick to prevent the U.S. from running out of cash. And now the government has about 2 months to get this settled. In the meantime, the Treasury Department is starting to dip into the retirement accounts of the government workers, giving them IOUs and freeing up more cash to keep the government running. So that's not a good spot, right, Andrew?
No.
No, this has happened before, but the difference this time is that the U.S. borrows so much now, there's no more wiggle room. So if the Congress doesn't raise the debt ceiling by August 2nd, government spending will have to be slashed by 40%. Whether it's military salaries, Social Security payments, or Medicare, a lot of people won't get paid. So that's pretty serious, 40%. So what are they doing about this, right? Geithner, that's the Treasury Department secretary, right, said he'll be able to buy some time, and then the country will not have enough money to keep paying its legal obligations in full. So what do they have to pay? Well, first, let's go to this.
Interest.
Well, we'll go over the list of what's on the line, what they could possibly cut.
Social Security, Medicare.
Right. Well, it's more than that, too. I have
defense
a list
spending.
Here. I have a list here. Hold on.
Medicaid. Yep. State fundings. All these things should be gone. Unemployment.
That's right.
Gone. Like, it's just ridiculous the amount of money
veterans
spending
benefits.
On
veterans
benefits shouldn't be going.
Well, that's what's on the list. The government.
That shouldn't be.
The
like,
federal
yo,
government
Social
has
Security.
To,
done.
Well,
it's over. It's an archaic system that really doesn't. What does it provide you? $20,000 a year? Like, how can you survive on that? No, you can't. You have to have your other own money. And it's just like extra money for these people that don't need it. Medicaid, done. You don't want to work. That's it. You're done.
Well,
just,
these people,
then you die. You die. You can't
okay,
even die.
Okay, now Andrew's getting
no,
silly.
No, these are like the ridiculous things
defense
that go on.
Vendor defense payments.
Budgets.
Yeah.
Defense budgets needs to go.
Yeah, well,
besides
student loan payments. The kids who apply for student loans federally.
They should limit the pool of people going to college.
Mm-hmm.
So then we wouldn't
federal
lend as much money,
civil service salaries and retirement benefits.
Yes. Pension plans are.
Wait, with the civil servants, the ones who are working for the government
yeah,
now.
And their pension plans.
Well, how about the people who are actively working? Their salaries are on the line, too.
Well, as you cut these programs, these jobs are going to go by the
okay.
wayside as
so
well.
So you see, it could be seriously affect a lot of different people. So what's to do about that? We're going to look and see what we can do about it. Well, they did a bill this
privatization
week.
Privatization of I don't know. Let's do something with the medical insurance because we're just
okay.
overspending.
Okay.
And it's costing too much
well,
money.
Well, this
a
week,
lot of things here
this week there was the House vote on raising the debt ceiling, and surprisingly, it didn't pass. Not surprising, it
well,
didn't pass.
Well, it's because the Republicans want them to
okay.
cut
We're gonna go and look through what the next few months are going to be, and the volatility of the dollar, the bond market and the stock market because of this. It's going to affect the U.S. ratings and the stock market and the bond market throughout the world.
I heard we're not going to be rated like AAA anymore.
Correct.
That's ridiculous.
And we've never defaulted ever before. So, you know, we could possibly be the next Greece, the next Ireland, the next Spain. That could happen. So that's how serious this is, okay? We accept that the debt ceiling will eventually be extended. The government will extend it before they default.
Of course.
We believe that all of this is rhetoric leading up to any deal, that a deal that the politicians are going to come up with, but they're not going to do it smoothly. They're going to make a big political push on this. And, you know, the Republicans stand on one side. The Republicans want the spending to stop, and the Democrats want the tax rates to increase, among other things. And so that's the standoff. And if we learned anything from this government, this recent government, what about the near shutdown this past spring? So they're willing to stand up and go toe-to-toe until the 11th hour, and then they're going to pass something. It's clear that we'll fall short of the Republican demands. So we're not going to completely cut the spending, but we have to do some. And the Democrats are willing to stand their ground, but they're going to have to concede to some things. They've conceded to the tax, letting the Bush cuts go for 2 years. But there's going to have to be concessions on both sides. And along the way, there's going to be politicians talking about some absurd, scary things that are going to put the bejesus in a lot of Americans and around the world. And it's going to impact us. So it's going to be pretty rough for a few months until they come to resolve this and come to a resolution. So all of this deficit, not all of it, but a lot of the deficit problems we have right now fall to the job market, falling job revenue, tax revenues from people who work, and rise in unemployment benefits and all the things that go along with people working and spending money in the economy, all helps to lead this larger, bigger deficit. So what are we going to do about this? So, you know, what's your thought about it? I have my thoughts about it. I think that it's time to both of them to get off their high horses and deal with. I agree with you. The spending is out of control. I agree that some of the programs are very fat. But you can't make these changes in 2 months. We have till August 2nd.
That's what the budget's due.
No, this debt ceiling has to be raised or extended. Or we're falling out.
The budget was due August 2nd.
No. The debt ceiling. We're running out of money.
No, I know that.
Geithner can't finagle any more money after August 2nd.
I think I should go talk to him because I can finagle money out of anything.
Yeah, well, I'm
really good at
you're going to let the old people fall by the road, by the side of the road.
Old and poor.
Old and poor people fall by the side of the road, and the rich people don't have to worry about.
Raise the taxes.
They're going to raise the taxes.
So on the rich people.
So then we'll have the money to pay for the poor and the old.
No, because we still owe $14.3 trillion.
Well, the deficit ceiling.
$14.3 trillion. What's more important? Paying your debts or carrying some deadbeats? Carrying some deadbeats who couldn't handle their own business in the first place.
Well,
I'm borrowing money from everyone, Tom, Dick, and Harry, so that I can make sure that someone doesn't have to work.
Well, what about
what is the point of that? And then unemployment. Unemployment's going on for 18 months now.
Yes.
18 months to 2 years. I don't even know what it is anymore.
It's pretty long.
That's ridiculous. If you can't find a job in 18 months to 2 years,
yes,
there's something wrong with you.
Well,
you have to reduce your expectations of the job you're going to get and just get back out there.
I'm with you on that one.
The amount of money you're making on unemployment is not nearly enough to benefit society by your spending.
That's right.
So you're not helping. You're hurting more. And then you have these delusional ideas that you're going to find them amazing job that's never going to happen. Let it go. Sometimes you have to stop living.
Stop gaps. Yes. They need stop gaps.
Stop
jobs.
Living at one level when you really should be living in another.
Okay.
It's not 2005
anymore. You're in the side where we got to stop the spending. But what about the other side where...
Let me just say
the one thing that's really irking me is the oil companies and their insane credits.
Raising taxes.
Corporate taxes.
I have no problem raising taxes.
But let me finish saying what I want to say. The price of oil as the gasoline pumps go up and up and up. And they make more and more billions millions of dollars every quarter. And then they say to me, because I'm part of the American public, well, the cost of the gasoline pump has very little correlation to the amount of profits that we make. And I find that hard to believe. If you make $1 billion in one aspect of your business, and then you don't make $1 billion in another aspect, don't you kind of like weigh it out so at the bottom you don't have to gouge the American people?
I got lost at bazillion. I don't know what that means.
Well, what I'm saying is they say it costs a lot of money to do research and processing the oil into fuel and blah, blah, blah. So the fuel pumps make some money there, but I guess it offsets the other parts of the business that aren't as profitable. But the bottom line is they made billions of dollars in profits. So if there's still charging us too much at the pump, couldn't they just reduce their bottom line a little bit while lots of people are suffering with the price of gasoline and offset some of their other businesses?
I think we should raise taxes on all of those companies.
They get tax credits.
Oh, I understand. And then
don't you think those should be taken away?
Of course. I said raise taxes. I said
you did say that.
But I also think that we should move to other more efficient ways to get around transportation, public transportation,
right.
New vehicles.
I agree.
Because oil is a dying thing.
No, I agree. I'm all for green.
I don't care. It doesn't even have to be green. Just something new. Because this is not working. I don't care. Natural gas, corn, electricity. Put a solar panel on a car. I don't care what you have to do. But it would create a new industry. Because that car industry is dead. Can I get a point out?
Well, we'll come back and finish this.
Jack,
we'll be back. We'll be back and hear Andrew some more. And I have some more to say about this, too. In time waiting for the welfare dime, 'cause they can't buy a job. The man in the silk suit hurries by as he catches the poor old lady's eyes. Just for fun he says, get a job. That's just the way it is. Some things will never change. That's just the way it is.
The following is a public service announcement from Heritage Radio Network. Every Sunday at 4:30 p.m., tune in to Burning Down the House. Architecture is the laser focus of Burning Down the House, a weekly discourse on all things built, destroyed, admired, and despised. Each week, Curtis B. Wayne, your host, invites a posse of authors, critics, builders, designers, and other architecture fiends to reflect on various topics related to perhaps the most functional of all art forms. Again, that's every Sunday at 4:30 p.m. on the Heritage Radio Network.
Okay, we're back. Flash Talks Cash. We're talking about how high does the debt ceiling have to go?
I think it should be done.
And Andrew has some more to say. You know, you raised a very interesting point right before we went to break about the alternative fuels. And so I agree with you. You know, oil is on the way out. We need to find another way to live, you know, operate our world. But the interesting thing is, you know, alternative fuels, they say, you know, we're not there yet. Okay, we're not there yet. But the ethanol thing, you know, it's a great alternative. And so now
we rely on corn for everything.
Well, that's the problem. What I was going to say is they've taken something good, corn, and used it for fuel. And now the businessmen have gotten involved with it. And the greedy businessmen, I should say. And now the price of corn is off the charts. And when the corn for first of all, they're not raising the corn that we eat and corn that we want to use in our dietary needs, because they're making more money on ethanol corn. And that's not the same corn we eat. So now, you know, there's corn shortages, or the price of regular corn is so high because nobody wants to grow that, because ethanol, and there's big profits in the ethanol. It just seems like no matter what they touch, they kind of mess it up.
Uh-huh.
So it's really a very sad situation. It's all about greed. Everybody's all got their hands out to take, whether it's straight direct government payments or through various programs.
I just don't get it. I like
the military spending. Everybody's making money on the military.
Too much money. The private corporations.
Yes.
We're outsourcing. It's just awful. All the wars we're in is just retarded.
Yes.
It's just too much spending in too many different places. We need to focus our efforts here, because we have so much things going wrong here.
Yes.
That we need to focus on that.
Well,
and like growing us internally. I understand.
Things are tough,
but we're spreading ourselves thinner.
Well, I
we're making it harder on ourselves by continuing the things we're doing, by like not making adjustments within ourselves, and then just keep spending and spending and spending.
Well, I believe it's like this.
It's like if you're making $2,000 a month and your budget's $2,500, wouldn't you think some way to get down to $2,000 a month?
Right. Well, it's like
how do you do that?
I want to say.
You don't want to say because you can't.
No, I want to say.
Why can't someone figure it out?
I just want to say this. You know, the U.S. is a superpower, but the U.S. is not the superpower anymore. And so it's like your budget. You made a lot of money back in the day. You were a big spender. You were able to do a lot of different things. We're not that superpower anymore. We have to cut back. Our salary is not that big. Our money, our budget is not strong enough to support all the programs and all the people that we at one time did support, and that people are having a hard time with that, you know, or the financial aid that we send around the world, we can't afford to do that anymore. And the financial aid we provide to our people, as that net becomes that poor class becomes larger and larger in this tough economy, it's time to, like you said, make changes in your budget, and everybody's got to pull their weight and cut back and not have their hand out for everything. So
That's not the way it is around here, though. Everyone
I think that Barack, if we tell Barack to tune in, and maybe him and I and you can sit down and sit with Geithner.
I don't think they can handle it.
They couldn't handle an austere budget, a real austere budget. That's what they need.
Everyone has to cowtail to this guy, guy.
Too many lobbyists. Too many
people.
Personal.
Too many cooks in the kitchen.
Yeah. All right.
Whoever wants to come talk, we give them free pizza over here.
Definitely.
They want to save some money.
I think Barack and Geithner should come on over. We're extending an invitation to them. Flash is talking cash. Andrew's got lots to say. He's really good at budgeting. So give us a shot. It might work.
Okay.
It might work. Okay. I have some number nuts for us this week.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Okay. I'm going to talk to you about New York City street vendors. We have a lot of street vendors in this city. I'm going to tell you my opinion about them.
It's not
after.
Another word for drug dealers, right? You mean real street vendors?
No, street vendors. Okay. I don't know where food trucks fit in with this, but you know, food trucks is a rage now. But I'm going to tell you my feeling about street vendors after we go through all these number nuts, because I have an opinion, but I'm not going to prejudice you until after it's all over. So we have, you know how many street vendors we have in New York City? Here's your choices. We have 10,000, 25,000, or 50,000 street vendors?
50.
The answer is 10,000.
Really? Isn't it a cap number?
No, it's 10,000.
No, don't they like, it's like a limited number?
Yeah, they have a license they have to apply for, yeah. So the vast majority of them are immigrants from, you know.
I bet the number's closer to 50 when you count those without
the illegal
licenses.
Ones, yeah. Right?
When you talk about Canal, I think there's 50 on Canal Street alone.
Well, so most of them are, you know, from places like Bangladesh, China, Senegal, whatever, you know, Africa, Asia, all sorts of places. And so the workers have a tough job. Most vendors work grueling hours, rain or shine, and earn incredibly low wages. And that they support their families here and abroad. And, you know, they have a lot of regulations that the city imposes on them. Mayor Bloomberg likes the vendors. He promotes them. They're considered the smallest business owners in the city. So I want you to figure out, now this will be one of Andrew's favorite topics. So the city gives the poor street vendors, or the vendors, an average of how many violation tickets per year? And some of the tickets are for parking more than 18 inches from the curb or less than 20 feet from a storefront. So how many tickets do you think that they issue a year? 25,000, 50,000, or 100,000 tickets per year for violations? 50,000, you're right.
Boom.
And so then they result in a lot of fines that represent a significant hardship for these guys who make, guess how much they make? Do they make 14,000 a year, 24,000 a year, or 34,000 a year?
24,000.
Yeah, you said 24 before she even gave answers.
No. 14,000 a year is what they earn.
Get out of here.
That's what it says. Well, this is what they're reporting.
That's taxable, yeah.
That's what they report. I'm just telling you, I'm reading this little article here.
Why would you go to work every day and make 14,000?
Right.
That's
happen.
Just ridiculous.
Well, considering where they come from, they make a dollar a day.
No.
That's big bucks.
That's what they report.
Come on.
So most of the vending violations fall under a graduated penalty system, so they increase them every time. time within a 2-year period, that means the first violation could be $25, $50. The second time you violate it could be $50 or $100, and so on. And the graduation violation, it's not that you did the same thing twice. It could be any violation. It just keeps increasing, and it goes all the way up to $1,000. Okay, so they got some serious violations. I've seen cops give these guys tickets. All right,
so they make 14 a year, and they pay about 14.
Watch
a year.
This. Yeah, that's, that Watch make- this. Okay, now New York City barely profits from this regulatory scheme. Okay, a recent study found in 2009 the city spent how many millions on street regulation and enforcement of the vending laws? We have 2.3 million, 5.7 million, or 7.4 million.
Too much either way.
I don't care. As long as over $1 million, it's
way. $7.4 million on street regulations and enforcements.
That's
okay.
Just wow. That's just overtime.
Watch
for cops.
This. Watch this. Wait, it gets more insane. Of the how many millions of dollars of fines did they hand out? 5.8 million, 15.8 million, or 25.8 million did they hand out in fines?
Yeah, 5.8.
$15.8 million in fines.
Right. So it's half. Okay. That's half. So they spent 7.2 to get 15.8.
Okay. And how much did they collect?
Zero.
Watch. Did they collect?
Zero.
900.
The guys make $14,000 a year.
Did they collect 900,000, a million nine? Or 19 million. I'm sorry. Yeah, 19 million.
What were the three options?
$900,000.
$1,000,000
or 19 million.
$900,000.
$900,000. He's right. So that's the story with the city and the vendors. In my opinion, I think they should take all the vendors off the streets.
What's 14? Jack, what's 14,000 times 10,000? Is that 1.4?
140.
No, right? No. 10,000 times 14,000. Is that
140,000?
Oh. No, it's not.
No, it's
10,000
times 14,000.
Oh my God, it's like probably 14 million.
Okay, $14 million.
Yeah.
How much is that, Jack? Give me a quick number on that. If that's $14 million, right? What's these guys make $14 million.
No, they make 14,000. Oh, the vendors.
14 times 10. That's $14 million.
Right.
They then, how much is that, Jack?
Oh, I got 140 million.
140 million. Fine. So then 10% of that goes towards fines.
Yeah.
So you're telling me 10% of this guy's income?
No. I'll tell you what the story says. Most of the fines don't get paid because, A,
the guys make 14. They're making no money. No, you want to take 10%.
Most of them become elite. They also, they have trouble presenting their cases. Actually, the cops don't even know the laws that they're trying to enforce. They don't explain the rules clearly. And most vendors don't even bother. They just go illegal.
That's just retarded.
Let me just say my opinion on these vendors. I think that it's absurd that they allow them to crowd the streets and sell their junk on the streets. I don't think it's fair to the people who have...
The food carts are definitely okay.
No, I don't agree. Oh, you mean the food trucks?
Oh, the food carts. The guys who sell the hot dogs and stuff.
Well, frankly, I think
that... Street meat's good. Yeah.
I really believe that that's not fair to the restaurateurs.
No.
I really feel that way.
This is quicker than a restaurant, though. It's a different animal.
It's not like... You don't go to lunch and sit down for 45 minutes
at a
restaurant.
Well, you go to Gray's Papaya and get a hot dog. He pays rent, and the guy on the corner doesn't pay any rent.
Okay. Well, there's a license fee and stuff like that. I understand.
No, I don't agree.
They should tax the franchises more.
No, I don't agree. I think that the stores should be angry about the vendors outside selling the hats and the gloves and the sunglasses and the whatever else, the books, whatever it is. Because these poor guys are in a store. They're paying rent. They're paying taxes. They're paying salaries. And now these guys come up. They sell the stuff for cheaper because they have no overhead. And they crowd the sidewalks. They get in your way. They, you know, if they can rip you off, they'll rip you off. I just think they should just go away. It's not fair.
Well, if you find a store where they sell $5 sunglasses, I'll support
that
argument.
Well, the reason why they can't sell $5 sunglasses is because they're paying rent and salaries and insurance. So that's why it's not fair. It's not. Isn't that the similar thing to what I asked you last week about the tariffs? Remember I told you the cheap goods that come in from abroad and they tax them so hard to make them comparable? Well, this is the same thing. The street vendors have an unfair advantage on the street corner. They're not paying the overhead expenses that a brick and mortar store is paying and or an internet store is paying because they have to pay for shipping and handling. It's not fair. And you know, you started this whole thing. These guys don't pay any taxes. They don't report their income. It's all become an underground economy. It's just nonsense. And they crowd the sidewalks. You can't even walk on the sidewalk.
You're really all about the sidewalk thing.
I can't stand them.
I got that. You hate them on the sidewalk.
I hate them. You ever go inside, go on Fulton Street and try to get into the subway?
No.
Because there's a rule here. There's a rule. I don't know the whole length of the rule, but the rule is a veteran can get these licenses.
Yeah, they're very easy for
veterans.
They're
very easy for veterans. So they set these veterans up to sell stuff on the sidewalk. And once a veteran is there, other vendors can come. They don't have to be veterans. And they can sit on the same side of the sidewalk that the veterans are on.
Why?
I don't know that rule. But all I know is once a veteran shows up, then the sidewalk becomes free game for everybody.
So we throw them all in a flea market, and if you can stand the flea market, I guess you deserve the low prices.
Yeah. Well, then that's okay. At least, you know, this.
I can't stand flea markets.
Well, you
no,
can't.
Who goes to flea markets?
I go to flea markets.
Because you're an old crotchety woman.
I'm not crotchety.
You're crotchety, dude.
I am not crotchety. I just
those
don't
guys
like street
on the
vendors.
Sidewalk,
I don't like street vendors.
Ah!
All right, we're going to say goodbye, and we'll see you guys next week. Bye bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.
This is Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer. All of the trade papers are just buzzing with the information that Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, has decided that he is only going to eat food that he himself has killed, as in proteins. So thus far, he's killed a goat, a pig, a chicken, and some fish. But he's going to start hunting, he says, so that he can, you know, basically be more mindful of what he is putting in his mouth and into his body. And to quote a CNN Money article, he says, "This year, my personal challenge is around being thankful for the food I have to eat. I think many people forget that a living being has to die for you to eat meat. So my goal revolves around not letting myself forget that and being thankful for what I have. This year, I've basically become a vegetarian since the only meat I'm going to eat is from animals I've killed myself. And thus far, this has been a good experience. I'm eating a lot healthier foods, and I've learned a lot more about sustainable farming and the raising of animals." This has been Behind the Scenes Food News with Katie Kiefer.
Aaron Fitzpatrick and Brian DeMarco host Unfiltered, Heritage Radio Network's very own wine program. Here's a small clip.
I will say that I tasted a lot of wines, and I went to Bollinger.
Mm.
And it was the special cuvée, which is, and I'll explain the difference between that and Roeder in a minute, but the special cuvée was the most three-dimensional wine that I'd had in my mouth up until that point, and it was actually pretty much one of the only ones of the day. Really spectacular, and it's made, I'll just say, in a different style from Roederer, because it is a certain portion of the blend every year, and their style is aged in barrels, and it gives it more of a toasty, fuller style. And it's really, you know, it's a big champagne.
It's a masculine champagne.
Mm-hmm. It is. I tried to stay away from that, but it's true. I mean, James Bond, the whole thing. Yeah. But it's a big wine. It's a great food wine. But then
want to hear more? We'll tune in every Tuesday at 4 p.m. live to Unfiltered, or check out the old episodes in our archives. Also, make sure to subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. Thanks for listening.